Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Six. This is the podcast where usually my good friend Gil and I get together to talk about the six things that we have been enjoying thinking about this past week. We draw from movies, video games, music, comic books, anime, YouTube shows, podcasts, etc., etc., etc. Not sure if I mentioned video games, but definitely a big part of it. Speaking of video games, we have been doing our best of 2018 conversations, and this is our final one, in which we'll be talking about our favorite games in 2018. So we're going to start by going through all the games that we talked about on our podcast the past year, and then games, of course, that came out in 2018, and then we will be selecting our chosen six. So.
Sounds good.
You ready?
Yep.
Okay. So games that we talked about in 2018 in chronological order. Dragon Ball FighterZ, Sea of Thieves, Celeste, Monster Hunter World, God of War, Nintendo Labo, Street Fighter Collection, Bloodstained, Curse of the Moon, Octopath Traveler, Dead Cells, Shenmue Remastered, Shenmue 1 and 2 Remastered, Spider-Man, Dark Souls Remastered, Forza Horizon 4, Soul Calibur 6, Red Dead Redemption 2.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Kick us off.
Okay, so one of the games that is definitely on my top three is Celeste.
I've heard so many good things about it.
This is a game that I profoundly love. Have you heard the music from this game, by the way?
I have not.
The music is incredible. Celeste won best music at the Game Awards, I think for good reason, well deserved. So Celeste is it's a very hard pixel art platforming game. I think it's in the vein of Super Meat Boy. So very hard position platforming, real exact jumping, air dashing, fall and obstacle avoiding stuff. And I loved this game. I mean, it looks beautiful. The music is awesome. It has a real cool story too. Like, it has a really cool story about depression, anxiety, and coming to terms with, your other side, your bad side, or the side that you don't like about yourself. And accepting yourself completely, kind of like in the Persona 4
sounds
way,
very Persona-esque,
The way they tell the story and the way that this story ends up becoming a part of the gameplay is really, really, really fucking cool.
Isn't the story in Celeste like a girl climbing a mountain?
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, but on the way up, she has to like come to terms with all this shit, she has a lot of self-doubt, there's an externalized version of herself that keeps telling her to stop and to go back, and that like she can't accomplish this at all. But then this other side of you ends up becoming like an NPC or like a gameplay mechanic that propels you through the game world.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I've seen Celeste making a lot of like end of the year top games of 2018 lists.
Yeah.
I have yet to play it. I probably should, as it does come with
accessibility
options and difficulty scaling and all manners of things. So I will one day on one of the fucking never ending PSN like flash sales, I'll end up picking it up for something that I should have paid more for, but we'll end
$5
up getting for like $5. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. It's again, like it when I think back to like some of the best times that I had with games this year, like Celeste was definitely a big part of it. I love this game. I was enthralled by it. I love the challenge. It's pretty difficult. But it's really fair also. It's really cool, like when you come up against a challenge where you just have no fucking idea how you're going to make it through, but then you end up figuring it out. And the cool thing is that, like, it, you know, like if you're trying a certain challenge and you die, like you kind of respawn in the same spot. So it's really easy to try things over and over again. Like there's little penalty for that, for dying.
True.
There's no lives, you know, so you can try shit over and over and over again. It's great, man. It's just a really, really good platformer. One of the best platformers I've ever played. And it's a fucking jolly good time.
And graphically, it's nice.
It's beautiful. Pixel animation. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's like this really beautiful, kind of really kind of luminous pixel art. And it's available on PlayStation, Xbox, and Switch. And PC, I'm sure. So
Celeste is an indie game, no?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Totally.
It's cool, man. Indie games, AAA titles. It's a good time to be a gamer.
Absolutely. Without question.
I said before it was a good time to be a Dragon Ball fan. And I think Dragon Ball FighterZ is kind of like it's a dream come true in that it's probably the only good Dragon Ball game ever made. I would say. The other games could be fun, and Budokai 3, I would say, is probably the best of like the rest of the games. Mm-hmm. I wasn't a big fan of the Tenkaichi series. I know a lot of people are, but basically in the like Tenkaichi games, and even in Budokai, like it basically felt like you were playing the same, no matter what character you picked, it was like the same shit.
Mm.
It was the same moves, same everything to do everything with, to do anything with every character. Basically, it was just a reskin, like, all right, whether you're Goku or Trunks or Vegeta or Piccolo or Mr. Satan, your character more or less functions the same way.
Yeah,
okay, if you're Broly, you're a little bit slower. And that's about it. Or if you're like, you know, Chunky Trunks, you're a little bit slower. But essentially every character played the same. Dragon Ball FighterZ, Arc Systems works. You know, these fuckers know how to make a fighting game. And they know how to make a very sharp looking fighting game.
Yeah.
Masters of
2D.
Masters of 2D and thank God. I feel like 2D is oh well, no, that's not true. Because there's a lot of like 2D indie stuff coming out. But I guess a 2D AAA game is not... Would Dragon Ball FighterZ be a AAA game? What constitutes a AAA game?
Yeah, I would say if Dragon Ball FighterZ is a AAA game.
It
yeah.
is. Okay. Yeah. Fantastic.
AAA, I think, is maybe the size of the studio, the amount of money, the amount of time.
Right. That's how I think of
it. I think... No, not time. Money. I think money... Is kind of what it comes down to.
Time resources. Is money, and money is time, man.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, you have indie games that are like 10 years in the making.
That's true.
One man team.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But yeah, Dragon Ball FighterZ, man, it's a crazy 3-on-3 fighting game in the vein of something like Marvel versus Capcom 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of funny to see like Capcom drop the ball with like something like Marvel versus Capcom Infinite, and for Arc Systems Works to actually put out like this crazy hyperkinetic, super competitive yeah, fighting right. game.
Right, they made like the Capcom versus Marvel,
right
that yeah. people wanted.
Totally,
that's kind of what that game is. It's like the super flashy, incredible.
Right, looks
like
looks,
2D fighting game.
Yeah, and like it's your reaction time has to be godlike.
Really.
This game is incredibly fast. Yeah, really? It's super fast. Like for me, it's nearly it's not possible to play this game like
online
competitively. Really? Not really.
Yeah.
Yes, I'll beat some people, but no. Like Tekken 7 is something more suited to my ability. Dragon Ball FighterZ is just it really is. Like, it makes Marvel versus Capcom 2 look slow, which is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
You know, and that's no, there's no, that's not a hyperbolic statement. Like, it's accurate. But the game is packed full of, like, content. It's packed full of fan service. It pretty much centers around, I guess, it's Dragon Ball Super, the fighting game. So you'll see like all the a lot of the characters that you see in Dragon Ball Super and a lot of the classic characters. But man, it looks good. The main storyline, it's kind of super long. I haven't finished it, which is crazy. Usually that's the first thing I finish in any fighting game. But in this game, like the way it's done, it's just so many hours. But man, it plays good. It feels good. I wish more people who sucked were playing it online. But I guess if I had to give it to a fighting game this year, for 2018, that came out in 2018, Dragon Ball FighterZ is where it's at.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Just quality fighting game mechanics, awesome graphics, awesome sound design. You could play it in Japanese or English, a dub. There's fans of both. It's just like everything you would want in a Dragon Ball fighting game is in there, from the over the top like crazy supers, awesome animation, to, you know, something like Android 18 giving Frieza shit for killing Krillin before the fight starts.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's all in there.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So next one up for me is Monster Hunter World. This is a game, I haven't finished it, but I put about 50 hours into it. So not nothing. And I really loved my time with this game.
Monster Hunter World, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I may have loved or really enjoyed like every moment that I spent with this game. I just really love the mechanics, I have to say. Like, I really love, you know, the fights with these gigantic monsters. I like the way it controls. I like how difficult the monsters are, like how long the fights take, how strategic you can be, how tactical. The kind of that loop, you know, of hunting monsters, killing them, like looting materials, crafting new armor and weapons with those materials, going on to fight stronger monsters. I loved it. I love like all the different types of weapons and the different fighting styles that they come with.
And there's like a learning curve to like each, right? Like, it's not like...
Yeah. Yeah. But to be honest, like, whenever people talk about this game, like I hear them talking about how like obtuse it is, and
yeah, that's what I've heard.
I didn't experience that, to be honest. Like I kind of was able to more or less jump right in, and find, you know, a couple weapons that I liked and just get good at it kind of progressively. Like the game wasn't pushing back that much, you know. Like I was fighting a monster, beating it. And it wasn't really, you know, like 30 hours into the game where I started, like, I had a couple of encounters where I had to like redo them. But I was always kind of happy to do it.
Were you playing by yourself or with other people?
I always played by myself so far. I haven't played online. You know, a lot of the time, like, I don't like it when I'm playing with people and they're telling me what to do.
I don't like that either.
Or they're like trying to advise me or whatever. Like I like taking my time and I like figuring things out at my own pace.
Right.
So in a game like this where there's so much to figure out, like I didn't like the idea of somebody being like, oh, go here, do this, use this thing, blah, 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 you know?
Right.
Like part of the experience of the game for me is finding these things out, figuring things out on my own.
Right.
And I think I would only start playing online like when you reach those challenges where it's absolutely necessary. Mm-hmm. You know, you just can't beat this monster on your own, and I haven't gotten there yet. Like every monster I've fought, I've been able to beat on my own so far, and I've really enjoyed it.
Speaking of games that you could play solo or like online co-op, did you download the demo for Anthem by the way?
No.
Okay.
I didn't. It. Yeah. So I really liked it. The game really clicked for me, I would say, in the beginning when I started using this weapon called the Insect Glaive. Which is kind of like a two-sided spear, you know, like a bow staff with like, actually it's not two-sided. It's like a spear, like a halberd type weapon, you know? So like a pole weapon with a blade at the end,
sweet,
that you can vault yourself into the air with.
Yeah.
And then you can like fly around the air doing like these little like pirouettes, like spinning your blade. And you can basically, like, you vault yourself up in the air, and then you can, like, go in one direction, you know, like doing like different like cuts, like different slices, and then vault into another direction, and then a third one. So you can do like these like series of attacks in the air, like above these monsters, and they're usually pretty big and pretty tall, so like this helps. And it makes it a lot easier to like get on their back, and once you get on their back, you can really like just like wail on them. And this insect glaive, it's called the insect glaive because it comes with like a bug, like a gigantic beetle that you shoot at different parts of the monster, like the head, the torso, and the tail. And by shooting it into different parts of the monster, you shoot this beetle, it goes to like the head, it connects, and then when you call it back, it gives you a certain buff. So you're trying to get three different buffs. You're trying to get like a defensive, like an attack.
That's right.
And maybe like a boost buff or something like that.
Yeah.
So you start the battles, you're shooting out your little like insect to get these buffs. It comes back, you get the buffs, and then you start fucking like going into the air and doing all this crazy shit.
That sounds super satisfying.
It is. Yeah. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. And then I got to a point where this weapon seemed like it was a little bit weak against some of the enemies that I was fighting. So I switched to something called the charge sword. And basically you get a shield and like a broadsword kind of thing, like not too long, but broad bladed sword.
Yeah.
And then what you do is that you do like a few attacks with the sword. And as you do these attacks, you get this power up. You plug your sword into the shield and it powers up like this gigantic axe weapon that you create by like connecting your sword to your shield.
I love that. I just love the idea of like weapons connecting to make a better weapon.
Yeah. So you
also mix.
So like a normal sequence is like you spot your monster, you go in, you whack it with your sword, you like slide under it, whack it some more.
I whack my monster all the time.
I'm sure you do. You plug the sword into the shield, suddenly you have this gigantic axe, and then it's charged, and you start wailing on the monster with this axe. And you have a way of like suddenly unleashing a very heavy attack that like unloads all the charges that you've built up over time, and it unleashes this like huge like elemental attack on monsters. So it's like really deep kind of strategic combat that is like very satisfying.
That sounds like my typical Friday night. Deep, strategic, satisfying, uniting weapons.
Yeah.
Giant axe.
Plugging your sword into something.
Right.
Yeah.
Into myself.
Right. But yeah, it's fucking cool, man. And like I love the world design. I really like the monster design is cool. There's like resources everywhere for you to harvest.
Graphically, how Monster Hunter, I feel like, is a game that graphically never really was like, like, I guess because it was like, what, it was on the Wii,
right.
It was on the PSP,
right?
You know, on the handhelds, 3DS.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. It's not amazing, but I like the way it looks, and like it you can choose for it to run in 4K with HDR, and then it can look really good, in some areas.
Cool.
But at the same time, there's something about it that, like, you know, it doesn't look quite as good as like a, I don't know, Red Dead Redemption 2 or like a lot of the, you know, AAA modern games.
Right. So I would imagine like the actual combat is like super satisfying.
I like it a lot. Yeah.
And like the monsters, are they like huge?
Yes.
Are they super huge? Like scale, like just...
Some are just really big, but some are like insane. And you know, people, when they talk about the combat, they complain about like the slowness and whatever, but you know, coming from playing Dark Souls and stuff, like that's, I'm used to that kind of thing,
right?
You know, hitting the button and then you have to wait for a couple of seconds for like the sword to connect.
I mean, it makes sense.
Because they have a lot of weight to them. You know?
It has weight. It's deliberate. It's not just pew, pew, pew.
Right.
So
yeah, exactly.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Capcom, man. Pretty, what the fuck?
Pretty, pretty good.
Yes. I mean, again, Capcom, like, shit the bed with fighting games, kicking ass with, like, Monster Hunter,
Resident Evil
stuffs.
Yeah.
I feel like there's something else I'm forgetting, but
I hope Devil May Cry is good.
Devil May Cry, that's right. That's coming up. Okay. Well, my only submission for this list will be Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Really?
Unfortunately, in 2018, there weren't a ton of games that I played or that I was able to play that came out in that year. So, yeah, the other five are, I mean, the remaining four are on you. I think that's fair.
What about Soul Calibur 6?
Soul Calibur 6 is good. I like it a lot. But I think Tekken 7 is better.
Yeah.
And I guess that's kind of overshadowed it. Yeah. Like, I totally stopped playing Soul Calibur and I'm all about Tekken.
Really?
So, but Soul Calibur still feels really good. It's a really good fighting game and it's a breath of fresh air compared to playing fucking Street Fighter. I swear, playing Street Fighter is just like anxiety inducing, man. Like, playing online, like, I feel like even at low levels, like, everybody is like shockingly like really good. And I'm like, there's no way you're like a bronze player. Not everybody, but there's just, I can't quite put my finger on why, but something like Street Fighter is like I'd rather like, I have no issue playing Dragon Ball FighterZ and getting my ass whooped online, but playing Street Fighter and losing is always like a, like, I feel there's, it's not just because of like, it's not just skill based, but like, I feel like I'm fighting like the game's systems or timing or online play. It just feels like, I don't know, something about it is off, and it feels infuriating where it's like, oh, that's bullshit, I can't believe that happened. Whereas I don't know, playing something like Soul Calibur online is like, if I lost, I feel like I deserved to lose. I don't know, but yeah, Soul Calibur is great. But let's, I would say let's move on. And I guess I'll bring this up as a way of saying, you know, again, accessibility, blah, 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 all the bullshit I always say. But yeah.
But Soul Calibur, the accessibility stuff doesn't work well, or?
Oh no, Soul Calibur is great and totally playable, you know, like large character models, like it's 100% playable. I have no issues playing that game in any way whatsoever. But like, I wouldn't want to put it on like a top like of anything list.
Really?
It's really good.
It's just not that good.
It's just not that good. It's not going to be like Dragon Ball FighterZ, I feel like, does deserve a spot in like top six of 2018, sure. But especially with the amount of like really good games, and 2018, I feel like, was like an awesome year for games. Like, I'm not going to put Soul Calibur on there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. Well then, so I would say then that my other, I wasn't expecting this, but actually it's not that difficult for me to come up with other choices.
Yeah.
So Spider-Man is the game that I would talk about next. Not, it would definitely not be on my top three.
Yeah.
But it is definitely in my top five or top six.
Sweet.
Yeah, I think the bad thing about Spider-Man is that it becomes repetitive. But the thing that it does, or the things that it does, are great.
I feel like that's true for a lot of sandbox type games, right?
Totally. Like, yeah, totally.
There's always like contextual, like, hey, these people need your help, or these people need an ass beating.
Yeah. And that's what Spider-Man is a lot of. These people need an ass beating. And you're like, all right, I'm going to go beat that ass.
Right.
and the ass beating can be a lot of fun. And I think especially when it becomes more difficult, it can be a lot of fun.
Right.
I think I was playing this game on hard. But it does, it is a lot of the same thing over and over again. It is quite repetitive. I think surprisingly, I think what I like, well, I mean, the mobility in this game is awesome. You know, like swinging through the city as Spider-Man is, and seeing the way that New York looks, it's just kind of awe-inspiring.
I'm going to end up buying this game. One, because it has a lot of accessibility stuff, more geared towards like, motor and as well as like low vision.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I feel like I or maybe I should just borrow it from someone. All you, like a lot of you guys have this game. Yeah, I should
probably borrow it.
But, for example, I mean, I have heard of like people that are legally blind platinum this game. Wow. I don't know how.
Yeah.
But maybe it's a difficulty setting thing, or I'm not sure. But it just seems like a lot of fun, and a lot of that seems just like the mobility, like the ability to swing around and kind of experience, you know, Spider-Man. And Spider-Man done well in a game.
Spider-Man Simulator.
Spider-Man Simulator. I'm sorry, continue. It does look super. I've seen videos of it, and it does look graphically, it looks pretty fucking nice. Pretty good.
Yeah, no, it looks pretty good. Something with the textures on the buildings is off, I feel like. Something about some of the buildings when you're like at a certain distance from them, like especially windows and shit, look a little bit flat.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, it runs pretty damn well. And one of the things that really surprised me about this game was the story, man. The story was just really good.
Did you beat it?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, I beat it.
I saw you playing it not too long ago, like quite a bit, like a few. I felt like I saw you playing it a bunch of times, like consistently.
No, it was months ago, I would say.
Months ago?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, it was a long time ago I would say that I played it and beat it like pretty close to when it launched.
What the fuck did I see you playing not that long ago then? Oh, like near? In December.
Was it in December? I'm not
God
sure.
God of War. I think it was God of War. No. I don't fucking know.
Nier Automata?
That's more recent. Like
was it recent? What have I been playing? Nier Automata, Persona, a lot of Resogun.
All right, it doesn't matter. Okay. Anyway.
Yeah.
But
yeah, great story. I was really, really surprised by the story. And the acting was great. Really good.
I remember early on, like, you weren't too, like, crazy about the story. Like, you thought it was good, but not, like,
I wasn't,
amazing.
Yeah, but then it starts developing and then becomes, I think, one of the best features of the game.
Oh, man. For sure. Awesome.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Have you... So, like, different... In this game, like, different suits give you slightly different abilities?
Yes.
Or, like, they give you different kind stats? Well,
kind of. So... Every suit comes with a new ability that you unlocked, but then you can use that ability with any other suit. So whenever you get a new suit, you get a new ability, basically.
Cool.
But the ability is not tied to that suit.
What suit do you like using? Like aesthetically or whatever?
Mm-hmm. I like the Iron Spider suit quite a bit. I like the Tony Stark kind of developed suits a lot.
Cool.
Yeah.
Of you would, yeah.
I like that Tony guy. So Spider-Man is good.
Spider-Man.
It's a good game. I would talk about Dark Souls Remastered. Even though Dark Souls came out, you know, a long time ago, I think they did a great job with this remaster. This is my first time playing the original Dark Souls, as I guess I wasn't really playing a lot of PlayStation 3 games when that came out. I didn't have a 360 at the time.
No, you kind of skipped that gen or something.
Yeah, mostly. Yeah, I jumped in at the very end. And at the end, but I played Arkham Asylum. I played the Uncharted games. And then a couple more things, but not too much.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, Dark Souls Remastered is great. I mean, Dark Souls is fantastic. This remaster is awesome. On Xbox One X, it runs in 4K, 60 frames per second. And
creme de la creme.
Yeah, just perfection.
So is there any like minus to like this remaster, in your opinion? Or it's just...
I mean, I didn't play the original, so it's a little bit difficult for me to say. But I think that in general, no, I don't think that there's anything negative about it. And by the way, I've been playing this on Switch and on Xbox as well.
Nice.
And on Switch, you know, it's just awesome to be able to explore and play in that world when I'm on a plane, for example, or in a hotel room. And when I'm home, I play it on Xbox just because of the, more than anything else, just because of the 60 frames per second. Like that game running that fluid just feels fucking awesome.
And it holds up on the Switch?
it's okay. The frame rate, it can be an issue. Graphically, it looks amazing on Switch. I'm still impressed by how good games look on the Switch. How, like, the kinds of games that you can play on the go now on the Switch.
Yeah.
But with games like this, the frame rate is a real issue.
So, Dark Souls, yeah. What is... Have you beaten the game?
No.
Have you had, like, numerous boss fights?
Yes.
What's like, the best boss fight in Dark Souls
so that far?
You've had so far?
Ornstein and Smog, or Smog, or whatever how you say it. Dragon Slayer, Ornstein, and Executioner Smog.
Two fuckers you have to fight at the same time.
Yes.
This is the most dreadful boss fight, is when you fight two fucks at the same time.
It's pretty hard. This is kind of known for being one of the hardest boss fights in the entire series. These characters look like they're straight, especially Executioner Smog, straight out of Berserk.
Cool.
And I think it's the perfect example of everything that is great about the combat and the challenge in Dark Souls. You know, something that at the beginning just seems absolutely insurmountable. Like, there's just no way I can do this. After a couple of hours, you are very confidently navigating this fight. And then it just becomes a thing of, like, you know everything that's happening. You know the attacks. You just have to not make mistakes.
Right.
You know, react accordingly, like, every time you see something.
Right.
And not get over eager. You know, like, in Dark Souls, a lot of the boss fights are about, like, getting in one hit, backing away, putting up your shield, rolling away. You know, a big thing about fights in Dark Souls, like, a big, and I noticed this, when I was playing 3, which I beat, was that a lot of the times when I was dying in boss fights was when I was trying to heal, like, out in the open. Yeah. You know, by healing, you open yourself to attack.
Right.
So, like, the key was, like, even when you had zero health, focus on dodging and blocking and only heal when, like, the enemy is, for example, in the middle of, like, an attack animation, like, when they can't get to you.
God, that sounds so, like challenging and yet rewarding, right?
It's extremely, like, rewarding.
Which is, like, what, I guess, what Demon's Souls, Dark Souls, Bloodborne.
Yeah, you played Demon's Souls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was my experience playing it as well, was, like, you, a lot of, like, getting in that, being patient.
Yeah.
Getting that one hit, making smart decisions, being patient. Don't go in and try to just, like, attack, attack, attack.
Yeah. And you know, if you're low on health, like, focus on evasion rather than healing. Because anytime you heal, you open yourself up.
That's such a, like, awesome design choice, because I guess, like, in a lot of games, right, like, the opposite oftentimes can be true.
Absolutely.
Like, you're drawn, like, you're thinking, okay, heal myself immediately, you know, and, like, attack as much as possible and just, like, try to just, you know, like, put, like, shove your way to victory, just smash your way to victory.
Yep.
But
in Dark Souls, that does work with some bosses. But I think in this fight, you know, especially because there's two of them, it doesn't. Like, you really have to be smart. And the cool thing is that, like, where you fight them is kind of like a big hall in a castle. So there's a lot of pillars.
And these are two, I'm assuming they're two human dudes.
Yes. But Executioner Smog is huge. He's like a gigantic fat guy who uses a tremendous hammer. He has big reach. He has a charging attack. And he has an attack where, like, he has a very strong butt stomp attack where, like, he launches himself into the air and then falls down. So he's kind of like
a fucking nightmare.
He's kind of like a big brute.
Yeah.
Big, heavy attacking brute. And then Ornstein is more of a highly skilled, like, spear fighter. Like, he fights with a spear. He also has, like, a ranged lightning attack that is really powerful. And he has, like, a lot of, like, long distance charging attacks with the spear.
Do they have like a combined like health meter?
Nope. Independent. And
of course.
And when you, and this was one of the great surprises when I had this battle, was that when you beat someone, the other one will like acquire the strength or the power of the other one. So like the first thing first, you know, I thought that it was easier to beat Executioner Smoke first because he was like more of like a sponge for, not a sponge in the sense that you, like he's a bigger target and he's sure, slower.
Sure.
And like his attacks leave him open for longer.
Yeah.
So like I focused on him, I finally beat him, and then Dragon Slayer Ornstein kind of like stands over him and like absorbs his power and he ends up becoming giant. And now you've got this like skilled spear fighter who's also a fucking giant. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, on the one hand, incredible. On the other hand, yeah, absolutely fucking harrowing. But then I beat Ornstein first and I saw that like the executioner, he becomes like, basically he acquires all like the lightning power, but his attacks are the same and they're easier to avoid. So that's what I ended up doing. So you have to beat one and then the other one.
I thought you were going to say, like, it draws you into, like, you have to be both more or less one right after the other.
No, in order there's to... there's a fight in Dark Souls 3 that's kind of like that.
To me, that's the worst.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's the best once you beat it, but it's just
yeah.
It's the worst. But
yeah, but this fight is a real good fucking time. These characters look great. And once you get into the flow of it, it's cool, man.
Which is the hardest Dark Souls game in your
opinion? A good question. So far I would say that 3. So I've played about halfway through Dark Souls 2. And in Dark Souls 1, I think I'm a little bit more than halfway through it. With a lot of bosses I haven't had any issues at all. You know, I've been able to beat them like pretty easily. I would say that this is actually the first boss that I've had a hard time with. I've had hard times with parts of levels, but in terms of bosses, like some of the other ones have been relatively easy.
Have you played Neo, N-I-O-H?
I'm heading towards him.
You're
you what? Mean, oh, the game Neo, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, there's a character in Dark Souls called Nito. Neo, I've only played like the first few minutes, but I want to play it.
It seems like you're kind of
It's kind of like a, you know, you play as a samurai in a kind of Dark Souls kind of
game. It's by Team Ninja, right? That's right. Ninja Gaiden.
Yeah,
yeah. Those games, like before, like Demon Souls and Dark Souls, and
those were the hard games.
I felt like Ninja Gaiden was like super hard, but like you adjust, you keep at it, you become good at it, and same shit, like as long as you don't make mistakes even with regular enemies, like you progress and you feel like a fucking complete badass by the time you're like on, you know, level 8 or whatever. Very cool.
And so my last game, actually I would say my game of the year, is God of War.
Is this, are we already, have you done?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, we've got Dragon Ball FighterZ, Celeste, Monster Hunter World, Spider-Man, Dark Souls Remastered, and God of War.
All right. Damn, God of War is your game of the year.
Yeah. I would say it edges out Monster Hunter World. It's fucking good. It's got kind of like the storytelling chops of like a Naughty Dog game with the a combat system. I think, you know, I described it at great length when I first talked about this game when I got it.
I remember.
It's a combination of Dark Souls and Platinum. You know, so it's got kind of like the deliberate, heavy aspect of Dark Souls. I also played this game on hard for the most, well, basically hard for everything except for when fighting the Valkyries, with the kind of hecticness and the, you know, the amount of resources at your disposal during the fight, it's like a Platinum Games kind of approach.
True.
And yeah, man, that fucking fighting with that shield feels really fucking good. And you have like the shield on your left hand, You have the axe on your right hand. Then you have Atreus, who's your son, shooting arrows. And the arrows can have, you know, like a stun effect or like an electrocuting effect, which obviously works on different enemies more or less effectively. And then you can also, about halfway through the game, spoilers coming up, you also get like the Blades of Chaos, which are like the traditional God of War weapon.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot going on in the fighting, and you have like parries, and you have like the number of skills that you can unlock for like different attacks in this game. It's just staggering.
Does it feel good when you unlock the Blades of Chaos? Like, is it like a big moment in the game, or?
It is a big moment in the game. It wasn't, I think, as impactful of a moment for me because I hadn't played the previous God of War games.
Oh, true, right.
And I would say that I generally like the axe or kind of just fighting with your fists and with the shield more than with the Blades of Chaos. The Blades of Chaos feels more arcadey and more, you know, more like old God of War and Platinum.
Right.
Like, you know, just like have these fucking like chained blades like whip it around and
huge
shit.
Huge range, yeah. Attacks everything. Mm-hmm. Right,
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. But yeah, it's cool. And you know, of course, for some enemies, you need to use those, you know, you need to alternate. So I would say like the combat is great. There is like not a tremendous amount of exploration, but like the exploration that is there and like some of the side challenges were like my favorite part in the game. And then there's the fights with the Valkyries. And I think there's something like 8 of them in total. And I've fought, I think 4 or 5 of them so far. And that's like the best combat challenge in the game. It's really awesome. You have to be really, really on point. And you have to use, like, it basically made me play the game better overall because it forced me to like use mechanics that I hadn't been using up until that point.
Very cool. I've heard a lot of talk about the Valkyrie fights. What is it that makes it so like they're just, their tactics are just like difficult for you to adjust to, or like it's just unforgiving, or
yeah,
like,
they're strong. They have a lot of like unblockable one-hit kill attacks.
One-hit kill. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Wow. And yeah, these fights are long. They're taxing. You have to be like, you have to play like at the peak of your level to be able to beat them. And that's, you know, it's really cool.
What is, so I'm guessing a big part of why this game is so awesome are probably like the set pieces and,
yeah, right? I have to say that for me, some of the set pieces were not my favorite parts of the game.
Really?
Because with the set pieces come like quick time events.
Oh, gotcha.
And things where you're not so much in control. Like the parts that I enjoyed the most are some of the more subtle story moments and the combat sections, like the Valkyrie fights and some of the, like the you know, special challenge combat areas that are really hard, that, you know, you have to, like, I played over and over again until I beat.
Is it something like kill X amount of enemies within X amount of time?
No, or? It's more like just certain groups of enemies, you know, like certain configurations of enemies that give you a really hard time.
True.
Where you just, you know, there are some really strong fucking enemies in this game and like really hard to beat, again, who can like kill you with one blow, so you have to be really careful. Like your evasion game has to be as good as possible, and then you have to make use of every window and make use of every like different like special attacks, runic attacks, make sure that like you've got your son, you know, like shooting the arrows and shit to shock enemies, making sure that every time that you get like, you charge your like really special attack, you use it, stuff like that, you know? So you have to be extremely conscious when you're fighting, and you just have to be on top of it.
What is like, the best, like, I guess, bigger-ish moment in the story that happens that you were just like, oh man, like,
do you want me to spoil it?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to spoil it. So please, if you really care about the story of God of War, do not listen to this, because I think it's a pretty big
thing. Oh, I'm so excited. This sounds good. This sounds juicy.
So the whole plot of God of War is that your wife, you know, your Kratos, your wife, who is the mother to your son Atreus, has died.
Right.
And she asked you to bury her at the, I think, the tallest peak, you know, in the land where you live. So the whole narrative of the story is you trying to make it up to this mountain.
Oh, really? That's what it's about? To bury her?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah. And of course, you know, like there's a lot of obstacles along the way. You can't make it up. You have to go this. It becomes this whole fucking journey. And along the way, you end up, you fight Baldur, who's one of one of Odin's sons.
Yeah.
And he becomes kind of like your main antagonist. And you also fight Magni and Modi, who are Thor's sons. And that boss fight with them is really awesome. And you have to go to the different realms, you know, like in Norse mythology, there's various realms, you know, right. Yeah. You know, like Midgard and Asgard.
Right.
But there's also like the dark elf realm,
right.
The light elf realm, the fire realm, the realm of the frost giants and so on. And you know, the bait and switch is that I think like the tallest peak in Midgard is not the tallest peak in all of the realms. So you end up having to go to that one. And you arrive at the realm of the giants. And the giants in God of War are portrayed as this race that was kind of like antagonized and annihilated by the Asgardians, you know, like Odin and Thor and all those gods, who are portrayed as being, I would probably, if not, probably bad.
Kind of jerks.
Yeah.
Jerks.
Right. Yeah. Jerky.
The gods are always jerks in these games.
Yeah. Right. And then when you get to the realm of the giants, it is revealed to you that actually your wife was a giant. And, you know, in Norse mythology, giant does not mean that they're very big. Giant
right.
is a race.
Right.
So it is revealed to you that your wife was a giant. It is revealed to you that all of the events that you have played through were prophesized. Like, you know, there are like wall carvings that kind of detail like the entire story of what you went through with Atreus.
Yeah.
And at the very end, you learn the name given to Atreus by his mother and the other fellow giants.
Loki. Which is... Oh! Oh, man.
Yeah.
Wait, is Atreus a bad guy? Do you fight him?
Nope. Not yet.
Oh, man. That's crazy.
Yeah, because in Norse mythology, Loki is famously the son of a giant.
Yeah, you're
and
right.
And he's adopted by Odin.
Oh, that's badass.
Yeah. So that shit was like...
Oh, my God. That's so good.
Maybe the best story moment of 2018 in a game. And that revelation comes at the very end of the game. Like, this is like...
I wasn't expecting that. Like, yeah. I was like, well, I'm sure it's God of War. There's got to be some badass, like, story moment that's, like, huge and awesome. Yeah. But, wow.
Yeah. You discover that, and then it's, like, roll credits. And it's like, holy shit.
Oh, my God. That is super awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and that's partly why God of War is my... game of 2018.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Very badass.
Yeah.
God of War is another game that I'll pick up. It's already cheap. I think you can already find it for like 20 some dollars. Mm-hmm. But I'll definitely pick it up and have a go at it and see what's up with its accessibility options and
mm-hmm.
whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But man, very cool.
Yeah.
Very very exciting stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so what's the tally? What's the list again?
What's the list? Where do you want to put Dragon Ball FighterZ?
You could put that last. Yeah.
Okay. So I would say Dragon Ball FighterZ, Spider-Man, Dark Souls Remastered at number 4. Celeste at number 3.
I thought Celeste was going to be your game of the year.
It could have been. There is a version in which it is my game of the year. Monster Hunter World number 2 and God of War Game of the Year.
Damn. What are there any like big or good, really good games that you didn't get around to playing that came out in 2018? Or is there like a bunch of them?
The only one that comes to mind off the top of my head is Yakuza 6. I finally started playing Yakuza 0, and I'm fucking in love. It's awesome.
Is that the one? No. The one, which one was free with PSN? Kiwami, right?
Kiwami, yeah. Kiwami is the remake of 1.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Zero is a prequel that was released way after... Zero came out after 5, I believe.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, there's some people like Max Scoville from IGN. He recommends starting with Kiwami. Most other people recommend starting with Zero. I think also Zero is a better game.
I hear Zero is a much better game.
Yeah. So it they, you know, anyway, so I decided to start with Zero and it's fucking great. And cool. And what happened was that I downloaded the demo for Yakuza 6 a long time ago. Hadn't played it, finally played it, and I was like, oh my God. Like, but I need to, this is amazing, but I need to start from the beginning.
Right.
So yeah, it's real cool. Oh my God. And I did, I just want to be able to get back to the karaoke. I did like one karaoke sequence and it was fucking amazing.
What is that? Is that like a QuickTime thing or what is it?
It's like a rhythm game thing.
Oh, true, true.
Yeah. And it's a lot of fun.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Let's see, 2018 games.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey?
That Odyssey, was 2018, yeah. Right? Yeah, probably. That's one I haven't gone to yet. Battlefield 5, I would say honorable mention. I've been playing that a lot.
You've been playing that a lot, yeah.
It's just that like I haven't played the story at all. I haven't played the campaign.
Yeah.
And I pretty much play one multiplayer mode, which is kind of like the capture the flag mode.
Right.
Ad infinitum. It's, you know, that's a great game to play with friends, man. Like right. Playing that with Paul and with Andres online is a lot of fun.
I had that kind of that experience. I really fell in love with Battlefield, I think it was 3.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I remember you used to play that a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. I played that quite a bit on PS3, and it was just like, Battlefield is... I couldn't believe it. Like, it was so epic,
yeah.
You know? Something like when you show up and, like when you're in a tank and you're involved in a tank fight against a helicopter, but your tank is also surrounded by like infantry units, and it's just like you're working together with a squad and everyone's cooperating, and it's like, and you achieve victory, it's like the greatest feeling in the world.
Yeah. Well, and the other game that comes to mind, actually the big one, the elephant in the room, I would say, is Red Dead 2.
Yeah, Red Dead 2.
Which I still haven't spent enough time with.
True.
Yeah.
Word up.
Yeah.
I think this is another good list.
Yeah. So once again, it's Dragon Ball FighterZ, Spider-Man. This is in reverse order. So number 6 is Dragon Ball FighterZ, Spider-Man is number 5, Dark Souls Remastered number 4, Celeste number 3, Monster Hunter World number 2, and God of War number 1.
I like that. I like this list as well. I haven't played most of these games, but it sounds like a very solid list.
Yeah, I think it is. Okay, well, that's going to do it for us. I hope you enjoyed our best of 2018 proceedings. Yeah, if you want to get in touch with us, you can reach Gil at Violent Gil on Twitter. You can reach me at Bigori80. We will be back soon with a regular episode where we will talk about new 2019 shit.
Or shit that came out before, but we're talking about it in 2019.
Anyway. Exactly. And that's that. And until you hear from us, be kind to yourselves and each other.